Now, with all that stuff out of the way, let me turn things over to Paul.
Hello, everybody, and we'll have a nice short but hopefully useful discussion on how to build the power to create what you want. Well, the first thing I'll tell you is that you don't have to build the power to create what you want. You've already got it. So the title is written in such a way that people would understand it. But the reality of it is, what I'd like to share is that we all have the power to create what we want, and that's all we can do. That's what we're doing all the time. There is nothing else. So what I'd like to do to start with is, would anybody come on the line that would be willing to go through an exercise with me in creating what you want?
I would, Paul.
Okay, who is this?
This is Michael.
Hey, Michael. All right, so let's create something, okay? And let's try not to have really any, too much attachment to what we're creating, but let's know that we've already created something. We've met each other. And is it safe to say, Michael, that we have a relationship right here before us of its very own kind?
Yes.
So when we look at our relationships and we look at the relationship you and I are having right now, we're connected to each other in a very unique way. We can hear each other and to some degree we can feel each other. And knowing that we have a relationship like that and that we have relationships like that with everyone and possibly everything around us, if you and I weren't having this relationship right this minute, at the very, very vibrational frequency, at the level of reality that we're communicating with each other right now, if you and I were not having this relationship, what would be there?
The potential would be there, I guess. Otherwise, nothing would be there.
I have to agree with you 100%. And you know, both answers are correct. The potential would be there, and zero, which is no thing or nothing. Whenever we have zero, we have nothing. Zero is the seed of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And it's a matter of sharing a relationship together, and you have your perception of self, I have my perception of self, and we're each gifted with sensory systems to communicate with each other. So we know that there's this other entity that appears to be outside of us, communicating with us, yet we both can agree that if you and I weren't having this relationship right now at this level of connection, in this frequency, in this time and space, there would be nothing there. And that's the first thing that we all have to really realize, is that when you decide to do something, like you decided to engage with me in this exercise, automatically you go into relationship with whatever it is that you decide to do. Whatever you put your attention on, you bring space, literally, to attention, which means act, attention. So when we were first talking together, most people are just listening, but as soon as you decide to participate, all of a sudden you have to bring your consciousness and space to some level of tension. Now, I'm in a relationship with everybody on the line, even if I don't know their name, because to some degree your attention is on what I'm saying and my attention is on you hearing me as clearly and authentically as I can possibly be. Yet if we were not doing this thing with each other right now, there again would be nothing there, not at that level of reality, not in the now, not in the absolute moment that we're in right now. There would just be nothing there. And the reality of it is that wherever there's a mind without an idea, there's essentially a hole in space that is a seed, and that seed is the potential. It's the no thing that is absolutely unconditionally willing to create anything you or I think of. When we go to bed at night, we each start falling asleep. We go progressively into rapid eye movement and have dreams, and we go into non-rapid eye movement, which is deep dreamless sleep, which is essentially like dying every night. You don't even know you're there. Someone could come and cut your arm or your leg off, and, you know, if they gave you a little Novocaine, you wouldn't even know what happened. You'd wake up and you'd be, you know, a one-armed bandit or something. You'd be freaked out. But the reality of it is we all go into no thing every night. And as we return, our spirit soul re-energizes our very idea of ourself. So, like looking in the mirror, you look in the mirror and you see the reflection of yourself. But most people think that that's who they really are. But the reality of it is you're just seeing a reflection of yourself. And if you don't like what you see in the mirror, which is the reflection, you can take action and change. You can decide to exercise more or eat different or remove some of the stressors from your life. And sure enough, because you've actually decided to have a different relationship with yourself and a different relationship with the weight, the gym, and a different relationship with your watch, and a different relationship with everything that was involved in you actually changing the shape of your body, as soon as you go into a relationship, you actually pull space into tension. And wherever you put your attention, you put your awareness. So whenever you go from no thing into something, when you go from deep dreamless sleep into waking up in the morning, whatever idea you have of yourself that is most strongest is who you think you are that day. If you read Edgar Cayce's biography, he talks in there about how he did an experiment with a child, and he knew that this could be done easily with multiple people, but he got a medical doctor to allow him to use his son, and he got several people involved that he knew the child would run into that day, and he encouraged each of them to tell him that he was looking sick, like he was getting the flu, and sure enough, the child woke up healthy and fine. His doctor, a medical doctor, looked at him and deemed him fine, yet he had a meeting with Edgar Cayce that day, and the doctor told him he was looking a little sick, and that if anyone else recognized that he was feeling sick or looking sick, that maybe he should go see his doctor. Well, one thing led to another, and the kid started feeling sick, went to his dad, who just confirmed, yes, he had all the symptoms of the flu. There's an entire field of research called psychoneuroimmunology, literally showing that the way we think produces our emotions, and our emotions give us our sense of energy moving through us. And when we don't like what we create, there's a very specific feeling to it. Unfortunately, many people get used to that feeling, and they don't realize that that very terrible feeling that they feel is the feeling of not liking what they create, yet they continue to create it because they forget what it feels like to create what they want. And addiction is just maintaining a relationship that you don't want. That's a creation. To continue to be present with yourself or for other people, or to do the things that pleasure you, be it art, music, exercise, making love, driving your car faster than you should, skinny dipping. These are all the things that we do out of love. Those are relationships we all look forward to. Those are the relationships we seem to miss the most. But the reality of it is, it doesn't take any more energy to create something beautiful out of nothing than something not so beautiful out of nothing, because anything you choose to do immediately conditions space to create that reality. I can easily prove that to you. Next time your rent bill comes in the mail, choose not to create anything and see what happens in about 2 weeks after your landlord gives you an eviction notice, and don't pay the electrical bill, and you'll see how doing absolutely nothing can be tremendously creative. don't pay your taxes for a couple of years, and even if you're right, the IRS will make sure that you get to see how great of an artist you are. So we're always creating. We're always creating extremely well. We're creating when we walk into a store and ask for help and nobody comes and we start getting pissed off. We're creating when we're in a hurry in our car and people seem to be reading their email and talking on the cell phone instead of paying much attention to what they're doing. So some of us relax and realize that another crazy driver isn't going to help, and some of us just get routinely wound up and create all sorts of interesting experiences for everybody, including ourselves at times. But there's really nothing there. I mean, there's just really nothing there. It's all an illusion, right? Until you come into relationship with something, there's nothing there. If you're a painter, you got to choose the color. That's a relationship. If you don't choose, then there's nothing there. You just have a tabula rasa. So there's really nothing to create except what you want. And if you think what you've got is what you don't want, then remember that we all set the limit of beauty. Good, truth, and honesty in our relationships with each other. We're inevitably magnetized to our very thoughts because there is nothing but space, and space is sensitive to thought like water is sensitive to electricity. One of the most important things we can do to see what we create is hold still and see what it is that we really want that we haven't yet created. Maybe you need to create a vacation, but you just haven't done it yet. Maybe it's been a year and a half or 2 years, and every time you see a brochure for a vacation package come through the mail, you salivate, but you just haven't done it yet. Some people, they just wait until they can get a real good long vacation, except unfortunately the vacation and being in a sterile room in a hospital without a good view, and they get to eat shitty food and be told how much stress they're under by the doctors, but they have plenty of time when they get to wonder how they created that. So I really wish I had more to tell you today on this PPS call. I really thought I was going to be able to tell you how to create what you want in your life, but how do you tell somebody something that they already know? I mean, that would be like telling you, I'm going to show you how to make a bowel movement. And you're like, well, thanks. I've been doing that since I was born, and I never need anybody's help. So I guess the message that I'm sharing really is once you realize that all there is relationships, then it becomes clear that you create through relationships, and the way we manage the relationships really just determines how we manage our decisions. Life is like an army education fund. For every dollar you put in, they put in one too. And every idea we have, to the degree that we energize it, the universe energizes it equally. Now, I'll close by saying that the truth of this is so simple and so profound. I could say this to the 6-year-old, and the 6-year-old would look at me like I was stupid for even saying this. Yet the reality of it is so few people, so terribly few people, actually accept responsibility for their life as their own creation. So there we have a paradox. The 6-year-olds are the geniuses that should be running the country because they work hard to try to create what they want, but they get programmed out of it by the adult society. And the adults at large don't realize what they're creating, and hope maybe someone can give them a pill to stop creating what they don't want to create instead of just choosing differently. The thing I love about the PBS program is it just shows you how you create your own life from many different perspectives. And once you see how the game works, you just play the game. And to the degree that you energize any part, it becomes real sooner and sooner, faster and faster. I'll close with this secret. If you've created things in your life that you're tired of or you're frustrated with or you feel like you need to resolve, maybe a long-term relationship that's been dragging on, or maybe you're holding it towards your dad or your mom and you got a chip on your shoulder and you just think you've lost the battle if you let it go, so on goes the Cold War. If there's any of those things out there, it's just a matter of recreating. And love, if you love somebody enough to accept that the harm that they may have done you has somehow made you more intelligent, somehow made you more enlightened, somehow made you more experienced at life, and know that we can never really know how much strife we've created for others to teach them, so it's really hard for us to honestly and ethically hold a tally of ourselves up against anybody else. All we can do is say, well, geez, I'm learning. And I just know for myself that the more I've learned to actually love, and I don't mean like some kind of sissy, pathological, weirdo love. I mean, just be honest with how the universe works and know that to the degree that we manage the energy that moves through us and to the degree that we do things to nourish ourselves as a means of being present for other people, we are healing each other. That's the kind of love I mean. I mean, empathy and compassion for yourself and for other people, and realizing every time we hit a milestone or make a certain amount of progress on our own personal spiritual development, we can look back with the eyes of empathy and realize, geez, there's a lot of people out there that just really don't understand life, or don't understand how to eat, or don't understand how to manage money, energy, food, sex, aren't confident enough in themselves to determine what's real on the news and what's fake. I'm totally excited that I got to share my ideas on how to create what you want, even though they're not really my ideas, they're probably yours. Does anybody have any questions?
Paul, this is Michael. How does one create create good with consistency? Because I certainly understand what you're saying and agree with it, and I think personally, what I struggle with is creating good consistently. I feel like I go through a period of time where I do that, and then I hit a stumbling block, and I seem to fall off the horse, and I start to create things that I don't want in my life. I guess they could be labeled as, not can be, they are labeled as addictions. And they seem to get a hold of me for a while, and I seem to snap out of it, and then it seems to be a cycle like that over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. You know, everything in the universe is going through cycles. You've got, you know, every planet, every star, everything that's out there flying around is going through cycles and orbits. So when you think of the magnitude of the energy, I mean, if you look at the research solar flares, for example, they show how radically it affects people's blood pressure, heart rate, all indicators of stress go up in hospitals pretty much almost across the board. And, you know, we already know what the moon does because women have menstrual cycles, and it seems like sometimes the moon's pulling pretty hard around, as you know. And, so, you know, the point is that what you're describing is actually normal human behavior. It's, I wouldn't want somebody to think, you know, there's something wrong with me because I, or, you know, I'm not happy with myself because I make short-term changes and I seem to fall out of it. You know, these are just absolutely normal things. It's like, when I'm training athletes, you know, the fitter and the stronger they get, the more energy it takes to get them any more performance gain. So when someone reaches like 98% of their genetic potential, we've got to work for months just to get a minor improvement. So whenever we try to make progress in ourselves, it's a new idea, right? And that new idea takes energy. And every time you excite a new idea in your psyche, it also creates an imprint of that idea in your nervous system. But in the nervous system, every single repetition of any idea that exists becomes easier and less energy consumptive as you think the idea more. So what you're describing is having the awareness to put your energy into new ideas or creating something new or more evolved or more beautiful within yourself or around yourself. But then if you get a little tired or you don't have a regular structure for reminding you to energize your idea, your new idea, then what happens is the lack of resistance in the electronic circuitry of your mental, emotional self, your body self, it actually pulls you back into the other idea because the energy can so more easily go through an old idea than a new idea. It's kind of like if an elephant smelled water through the jungle and he saw a trail off to his right, and the trail looked like it was going to go toward the water, but it was going to be the long way. The elephant has a choice. Take the easy path to the water or knock the jungle down and spend the effort to get to the water. That's what you see is we almost always take the path of least resistance, even if it seems a little longer. So any new idea, any attempt to correct yourself has to be regularly reinforced. And typically people respond either with positive or negative reinforcement. So some guys, for example, say, okay, I'm going to make you a bet. If I don't lose 30 pounds in 3 months, you can shave my head at a party and stuff like that, and I'll give you $500. That's negative reinforcement because they do that with people that they know are going to give them negative reinforcement for sure. Positive reinforcement is when somebody that really loves you gives you positive encouragement, like your mother or someone that you can really trust, or a wife or a lover. So what we need to do is set up either negative feedback loops or positive feedback loops to remind us regularly enough through a transition period, which is usually about 21 days, to re-excite the new behavior. And you can do things like doodling about it. You can leave yourself sticky notes. You can put notes to yourself inside your lunch bag. You can, you know, set an on-the-hour task where you've got to come up with one word that best describes the state that you want to be in that day. And it reminds you to keep putting energy into the new circuit. And soon enough, you develop the habit of thinking that way. And then the only time that the old circuit's going to jump in is whenever you get stressed, because if your energy level drops down low enough that the new circuitry doesn't maintain its conscious override but becomes fully subconsciously believed, then stress will pull you into an old behavior again. But that's essentially what's got to be done. It's really just know that the path of least resistance is a powerful, powerful fact in the human body, and every single idea creates an energetic imprint in your subtle bodies and gross bodies via the nervous system. And so if we want to make a long-term change, we've got to make a long-term reinforcement of that change, or the old ideas that previously served us will be so much more efficient energetically that we'll lose the pump energy into the new idea. Any other questions? Are you there, James?
I'm here.
If there's no other questions, I'd say we've done a good job. Have you got any announcements?
Nope. I just want to remind everybody that this call has been recorded, and we'll be posting it on our website in the next few days. And that if you have any questions about what you've heard, or you have any questions about the website, you can certainly contact me, James. And my email is dean, D-E-A-N, at ppssuccess.com. So feel free to write to me, and I'll happily reply back to you as quickly as I can.
And if anybody's interested, my newest edition of my blog is up at paulcheck.com. Meet Paul Check and Paul's blog. And you can see all sorts of the places I go and things I do with people, and hopefully you'll find it interesting. Thank you for joining us today, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Paul.
You're very welcome. I hope you got some useful food for thought out of it.
Oh, it was absolutely perfect. I knew before I made the call I had some issues today, and I went, I'm going to get the answer on this phone call. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Cool.
I was in your class. I'm your only practitioner in Las Vegas, so I was in your class last week. Can't tell you the profound changes that have occurred between me and my clients since that class.
Well, good. We're sticking to what we know, are we?
We are, yes, internally. I heard what you said, and it's made a big difference, and I can't thank you enough.
This is Bonnie, isn't it?
No, this is Carolyn from Las Vegas.
Right, Carolyn. Okay, sorry. Carolyn,
that's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to know my name. As long as you keep pumping out this information, I don't care what you call me. I just think it's great.
That's
stuff.
Who you are. I just had my name's mixed up, but it's lovely to hear your voice.
Thank you. Well, some of my clients are going to take your PPS program.
Well, thank you very much.
Well,
we are very interested in spreading the PPS virus so we can quickly help people achieve freedom of mind and freedom of their capacity to create what they want.
Well,
I just want to hang out with a bunch of happy people.
You've done a fabulous job, and I can't be happier.
Thank you so much. That makes me feel fantastic.
I wanted to tell you that at the course, but everybody wanted to talk to you. So I thought, well, I'll talk to them again when I'm supposed to. But you also helped me out today, too, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's a pretty powerful thing when you realize that space just sits there waiting for us to think. And the instant we think, we polarize space, and that creates an attractive force that literally materializes, or matter realizes. So all thoughts become matter realized. And the more focus or intention we have, and the more willpower we have, the more electromagnetism we put into our thoughts. And it literally pulls a body to itself.
What really resonated with me today that you said is that, you know, I struggle a lot. I know I can manifest, but the big stuff, and I look at the core problem, why I'm so insecure, but you said something that resonated, as always, and I realized, oh, you're just setting up another motor engram. You know it feels funny at first when you're doing it right, so just shut up and do it and make it happen.
That's exactly it. It's no different than teaching somebody how to drive a car and how to push the clutch in and move the gear shift or how to do a wood chop or how to do a squat properly. Right, we're creating exactly what people want because they come to us and they, you know, want to learn how to exercise, and you know we don't even realize that the same way you teach somebody how to move is exactly the way you teach them how to think. That's what we're doing. Here's how you think about the squat. Your weight should be here. Your core should feel like this. Your body position, right? But because it's a motor act, we don't put any real cognizant awareness to the fact that, holy Christ, if I can create a body that squats correctly, or I can create someone to know they're squatting correctly, all they're doing is becoming aware that their physical manifestation of their thinking is easily sensed because you've got a load on your back.
Mm-hmm.
But if we become brave enough to sense what we create at the psychic realm, we easily and quickly realize, oh my goodness, that also either takes weight off of my back or puts weight on my back.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way we program each other to move correctly, if we're exercise and healthcare professionals, the same science exactly is how you program yourself to create what you want in your life.
I know, I got it. That's what she says, and you're so right. And it's for the really tough stuff, you know, that has the big engram, you know, and you're really going back, you know, just to sit down for that 3 weeks and take 5 minutes is gonna. I know it'll change it. It's just scary because you think, oh my God, you know, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Thank you. I mean, what a great gift for me to get today.
So I'm gonna give everybody that's still listening a little technique. You know. Emotional freedom technique, right? EFT tapping?
Use it all the time.
Okay, so here's another way to do it, that I do it. Anytime, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually, whatever the theme of the wound is, if there's a spot you can find in your body that hurts, for example, nose broken 4 times. So, in order for me to release the anger and the energy that is trapped in the break, all I've got to do is begin tapping gently around the broken part of my body. So if someone, for example, is having challenging sexual relationships and the result is cramping in the uterus, then they can create the thought that they want. They can manifest, imagine the relationship that they want, and that includes, that always, including, whenever we create a new relationship, even if you're the one who you feel is on the receiving end of a bad deal, then you can create a new relationship with someone else, or you can choose to see the other person with your heart open as opposed to with judgment, and you can tap on the part that hurts. So a woman like this would tap over her uterus gently and rhythmically, like she was tapping a drum with her fingertips. And as you're tapping, you just repeat loud enough that you can hear yourself talking, I have abundant relationships with intelligent and enjoy my personality. And what you do is you use the impact, which creates an electromagnetic impulse, because all connective tissues are piezoelectric, which means they act like crystals. So when you're tapping over any spot in your body where you've got pain, there's going to be some degree of tissue tension there. It acts like a drum, and as you talk your new idea in, create an electrical impulse. Because the electrical impulse is more dense than your thinking, it actually acts like a carrier wave. So think of your thinking like a cork and thinking of a wave in the bathtub like you slapping the water with your fingers. So what you do is your thought gets sucked away by the waves and you override the mental function of memory in the body by implanting the new idea at the same time you shock the old one out. And as long as you're fully focused on the old idea, to the degree that you're energizing a new idea, it's like being on the right track of a CD player that has a recordable, erasable player. You could erase what you've just laid down only if you're on the right track. So that's why you go to the spot that hurts in the body. That guarantees you're on the right frequency. And as you're tapping, you implant the new idea repetitively. Programs the water of the body and the structure of the body to carry a new idea, and it's very, very beautiful, and it's easy to do, and it's a different system than tapping, because a lot of those tapping systems are based on acupuncture meridians, but this is based strictly on the vibrational reality of thought relative to water, relative to tissue density.
great. We can do that with our clients, too.
I hope that was logical what I said. But.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm going to enjoy the rest of my lunch here in lovely Jamaica, and hope you guys are having a great day wherever you're at.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.